Hello, everyone. It is early morning, Sunday, November 2nd, and things are going pretty well. All in all, I'm very happy for how things are going. I have definitely significantly upped my strength training schedule as I have been trying to really ease into, but honestly, truthfully, discover my New Year's plan, because I spent the time to create a very basic and rudimentary strength training program to accommodate my new schedule, where I will be working part-time 5 days a week. And so I wanted to intelligently plan out my strength training to go along with that. To be frank, that entire exercise was incredibly ambitious, because one of the big things I noticed when I would train on my own is that I would struggle to do as many exercises as I wanted. I would plan to do, say, 4 or 5, and I would leave having only done, 3, maybe 4 if I was lucky. And so one of the things I've been working on for my, there's a cute little cardinal up above me. One of the things I've been working on is trying to more strictly adhere to a program. But to do that, I needed to either find or come up with a program. The main reason why I didn't just adopt one of the countless ones you can find on the internet is that, truthfully, I needed to balance for exercises that I'm already kind of used to doing, or at least like doing enough to have tried it out a couple of times, but at the same time being balanced and not being silly and just doing overhead presses every single day, because that's probably what I would feel like doing if it was entirely, if that's how it was done. So I put together a very basic program, which I guess I can include in the notes for this particular piece. I don't know it off the top of my head. I have it written down, so I'm not going to be able to cite it off. A big part of my strategy for this program is that I specifically chose exercises, for some of them, that give me the opportunity to do at home. So not all of my regular routine takes place at the gym. Some of it can optionally be done, say in the morning before I leave for work, and other similar adjustments. And I knew ramping up the exercise at the same time would be pretty demanding on my overall mental and physical energy. On top of that, I'm still recovering from dropping a 45-pound plate on my foot, and oh boy, do I feel it in this walk. But all that to say, I'd say things are going quite swell. But it's definitely put certain things into focus for me, because I have mentioned in previous updates that because for a period of time I was coasting on savings and still to some degree coasting on support from immediate family, I kind of felt like a fraud when it came to this whole weight loss process. I kind of felt like, well, of course anyone can do it if you make it your top priority, which I somewhat agree with. I absolutely believe that if somebody's health is the one thing they clear the table to address, I think it's absolutely within reach to make radical progress. But one of the things I felt a little, I guess, guilty for is that if I'm able to make those changes in that environment, can I really say anything helpful to anyone who has, let's be honest, real problems? Trying to manage your weight while working a job, manage your weight while other priorities in your life are a factor. And so I feel strangely blessed in a way by taking on this new challenge now that I found a part-time job that works for my current situation quite well. And that will allow me to ease into the question of, is it still achievable for me to lose weight as I continue to try to reintegrate with society and take on some of these challenges and responsibilities that are generally, and I would say most of the time, significant barriers for people taking care of their health. And this is a serious personal thing for me, because I had spent most of my early adulthood sacrificing health for temporary, clearly quite temporary, career progress, for, to really put your head to the grind, so to speak. And unfortunately, it was after gaining the weight and having so much of my life come off the rails, it became incredibly clear to me that that was fundamentally a bad trade. But it's a trade a lot of people are forced into making. And so over this next year, not only am I hoping for a radical body transformation, but I'm going to be paying close attention to the pressures that arise when one is trying to, you know, lose weight and make progress in a situation where your time and money is more constrained. Because many times, people will flippantly say, oh, you don't need a lot of money to lose weight. But as somebody who's seen the full range, well, not the full range, but a very wide range of different situations as far as trying to lose weight when money's really tight or trying to lose weight when you are, let's just say, not being super diligent financially, I can definitely say having a less restrained budget makes a huge difference. So I think when it comes to specifically weight loss, because that's mostly what I can talk about, but hopefully in the future I'll be able to talk about other fitness goals as well, it's been made incredibly clear to me that time, money, and really focus, because just because you have time, if you can't focus in that time, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. And that's where I personally notice that being able to build up a certain reservoir of focus during certain periods of time definitely is a game changer in its own right. But I do think it's pretty callous for somebody to say, you know, the typical idiom, everybody has the same 24 hours a day. And it's like, for at least me, it's been so stark, crazy clear that the amount of time I portioned off to take on this journey is a luxury that very few people actually have the benefit of contending with. And so I think it's honestly quite kind of cruel to go to regular individuals crying for help with some of these particularly gnarly problems, and you're like, oh, well, you just need to perfectly time manage every minute of your day, as if 30 minutes to an hour and a half of doom scrolling after a demanding job is somehow this horribly unreasonable demand to try to cope with the pressures of today. Now, don't get me wrong, I definitely agree that doom scrolling is a time sink that doesn't help any of us achieve our goals. I just think it's important to keep in mind that there are different pressures and different demands on different people in different situations, that just telling someone they need to optimize every minute of their waking life doesn't seem like a viable path to actually helping people. And so the thing I'm really trying to get out here is that as somebody who has already made a remarkable amount of progress, but is also ambitiously trying to continue on pressing for just as radical and just as extreme changes for a whole other year, I am so intimately aware, in a way I could only wish I was in the past, of just how hard it is for ordinary people to prioritize their health, considering I'm just trying to ease in to a, you know, regular standard life as it comes to these questions. And so I feel good about the fact that it makes me feel, you know, like I'm not crazy. Like, yeah, this actually was as hard as I thought it would be in terms of the time and resource demands. Now, of course, I should also be encouraging in the sense that, as I mentioned, you've got three resources: time, money, and focus. If you have a lot of one of those, it can make a big difference. For me, I put away a little bit of money, and basically focus was my weakest point, oddly enough. Despite not having a lot of cash, having a ton of time, I struggled to summon the focus to actually get things done. And so it's fortunate that over the last couple of years, I had been really trying to train myself to focus better. And that was as part of, you know, starting the Libra Solutions Network, starting a digital freedom passion multimedia project. And the goal there was just do stuff so that I would, in my own words at the time, raise my level of productivity. Because I knew for some reason I was entirely unable to productively use the extreme amounts of time I had during COVID, but especially post-COVID for a while. And so that project absolutely yielded some results, and it gave me more time that I could devote to various things. And now it has given me the time to be able to ease in to living a functional life. But the thing is that if somebody doesn't have a lot of time, yes, money can absolutely make it easier. If you don't have time and you have, you know, a bunch of cash, there's, you know, meal prepping services now. I mean, I don't know how great they are, but I'm just saying there are many options one can do to make trades, money for time or time for money and vice versa. But I think what makes focus a difficult part of that equation is, at least for me personally, the COVID years absolutely destroyed my ability to get things done, particularly during the worst of it. And having to recover that has been a difficult and arduous journey in itself. That was kind of, I would say, one of the fundamental pillars I had to reconstruct to even get to the point where I could take on this journey. And so I think the problem is that you can get a lot of like very callous advice from people when somebody says, you know, they struggle with weight, and then somebody's like, oh, well, you just need to do X, Y, and Z. And if you're not doing X, Y, and Z, then clearly you're not trying. And I find this fascinating because I hear this in many different domains. I even hear this in the tech freedom domain, where it's like, oh, if you're doing this, then therefore you know you shouldn't even bother. And I have a personal take on things now that growth mindsets are fundamentally important to any endeavor in life. I personally believe that if you quote unquote think you're awake or enlightened or otherwise super savvy about an issue, I would say if you don't have a growth mindset about it, you're not really as, maybe not knowledgeable, but I would say you're not really that constructive about it as you think. And so that's a bit of a bold claim, but I stand by it, because we have to recognize that people have these things they are contending with. And a lot of those have to do with real things in their own life. And it's funny because, to me as an aside, it has been somewhat of a frustration to see, I just realized this is an aside of an aside of an aside, but that's how I talk when I don't have like notes telling me how to stay on topic. But anyways, no, the thing I've realized is that there's this frustrating tendency for people to simplify everything down to, oh, it's all, you know, your diet and exercise and then genetics. Genetics is this huge overbearing factor that basically decides whether you can do anything or not. And don't get me wrong, my biology knowledge is not particularly strong. I am not claiming to know really anything about genetics as a whole. I am just announcing frustration with how genetics is brought up in these discussions, because I understand that you have inherited certain genetic information from your parents, and that builds the building blocks of your body. So it is intuitively obvious that that would have a profound impact on your ability to achieve many different things throughout your lifetime. The problem is that one of the things I've learned throughout this time is separating lifestyle factors into two different categories. There are lifestyle factors that are under your control. For instance, how much time you spend doom scrolling, you know, how your furniture in your living space may or may not be arranged, many other different things in your life are things you can change, because as human beings, we do have some power to change our environment. The hubris is to think that one can costlessly or effortlessly change their environment in all the ways that, you know, one can imagine. There are some things we are born into. There are some things we inherit. There are some things that are even done to us that are entirely outside of our control. And so when I think of lifestyle factors as an input to somebody's overall health, I do separate between lifestyle factors that are within your control and lifestyle factors that are outside the person's control. And what I noticed is that in the context of overall health and fitness, I feel like lifestyle factors that are outside your control are more or less tied in with genetics. And I actually think this is a terrible way of talking about health in general, because this creates a problem where somebody believes, because they have inherited problems that make the situation worse, however those are inherited, whether they are biologically or whether they are, you know, in a more human experience kind of way inherited, those problems, there is this challenge where they think, oh, well, it's in my genetic code, therefore there's nothing I can do about it. Or that people talking about it, you know, who claim to be experts, are not really wrestling with the fine detail that even if you have some of these inherited problems, there are other ways to, I would say, sidestep, overcome, or manage your situation within them. But of course, that does take, you know, time, money, focus, or some combination of the three. And so anyways, the micro rant about genetics there is just that I think it is really important that we understand that people have lifestyle factors inside and outside their control. And it's possible that those lifestyle factors outside of their control potentially do need to be managed if we want, you know, broad population level changes because we're public health officials or we're people commenting on a severe crisis, whatever the issue is. I think it's really important to understand that. And so I guess all I'm trying to say here is that as somebody who has been easing in to being functional again and being reminded how much I have to really struggle to continue to prioritize health, even though now there are other competing priorities and objectives in my life cropping up, it's so incredibly clear to me why not only I fell into that trap, but why many people feel fundamentally like they have to trade their health away for momentary, I wouldn't even say success, I would say survival, because that's certainly how it felt for me as an early adult. And that's quite a serious challenge, because it's all well and good to tell someone, oh, just never compromise on your health, bro, but life has a way of getting in the way. Now, I can definitely say the advantage I've had in this situation, in the situation I am embarking on now, is I am deliberately going into this knowing the situation. I am going into this new job that I've had for the last couple of weeks knowing that this was going to be a disruption on my progress. I would realize that this was a thing that was going to impact my ability to do what I'm trying to do. And so I anticipated the disruption and knowingly took it on. And so that does change the calculus a little bit. I know that while I was generous with myself with food and calories for the first week of my job, and now I'm trying to dial it back, I'm realizing it's like, no, I'm not just sitting around all day drinking as much water as I want to, like, you know, keep the hunger signals at bay, or like sitting down and making as elaborate meals as I used to. Now I have to be proactive and like, okay, I gotta make sure I have a lunch, make sure I'm bringing food with me so that I'm not just gonna grab fast food while I'm out. And it's learning balance, it's learning how to do these things, at least by being able to consciously take them on. That has made a huge difference for me, but in quite a huge way. And so I can confidently report that at least in my current situation as it stands, I am learning how to make the best of the situation I'm in and consciously, you know, wrestle with the variables and do my best. And so I am, again, quite optimistic that I can continue to lose weight. Maybe not at as rapid a pace now. Maybe things will slow down and I'll have to manage my own expectations. I am not in the same situation I was in even a month or two ago. And so it's really worth keeping in mind. And that's really something I guess it's good I had spent so long trying to wrestle to gain a little bit of patience, because it's going to be very important throughout what is going to be a challenging but very rewarding year up ahead, I think. I apologize for this silly side tangent that has fundamentally nothing to do with weight loss, but I feel the need to get this out somewhere, so I'm going to include it in this update. I guess just because I just want to get this out there. But somebody knocked on the door the other day, and it was a little girl fundraising, selling chocolate bars, fundraising for an instrument. And to me, when I heard that, I was touched instantly in the sense that, like, I, as part of my Libra Solutions Network passion project, have been really trying to remind people that, yes, AI is scary. Yes, it can do many different things. But we really should never give up on the idea that we as individual human beings and we as a collective society should absolutely be really focused on cultivating human talent. So our own ability to do things is very important, but also our collective society should value human beings' ability to do things. Now, I don't really want to make too specific points on how, you know, that needs to be handled in the economy and the workplace. I'm just saying, as a, you know, fundamental pillar of how we think things should be run, we should recognize that people learning skills, being able to gain a certain level of mastery and expertise in those skills, and being able to actually carry them out rather than just have a machine generate those outputs, I think it is fundamentally valuable that we not lose sight of that as a huge important priority for human society as a whole. Otherwise, we risk devolving into a machine society, and I would go as far as to say that's probably not a society at all. And so, because this was like something I had already been wrestling with, I'm like, of course I'll buy your chocolate bars. Now, obviously I'm on a diet, so I had thankfully not, you know, eaten them. I handed them over to my other half saying, hey, please hide these from me. You know, these are, you know, whatever. And it's like, man, it's funny how not that long ago I would have eaten them without a thought and probably even bought more than I did, which would be helpful for her getting her instrument. But to me, it just hit on this fundamental level about how I hope people are willing to really encourage, nurture, and flourish young people developing skills in a time where I would argue it is harder than ever. You know, young people's mental health is absolutely in the gutter. Whatever statistics you want to look for that is absolutely terrible. You know, there's the whole doom scrolling and TikTok phenomenon, you know. I can't judge somebody who was handed a tablet at 4 years old for being media addicted later in life. There's no way I can be like, oh, well, you just need to put it down, bro. I'm a millennial. I was raised with the internet. I am an extremely internet addicted information junkie. The idea that I would be like, oh, well, you're just, you know, a mess up because you have this problem of like, I can't comprehend how that affects not only their brain chemistry, but more importantly, how it affects their habits and how they see things and how they respond to various situations. And so this is a big part of the reason why I feel like, I guess, my voice when it comes to this weight loss process as a whole is actually fundamentally important, because I do believe that there is this lack of understanding of how hard the deck is stacked against particular individuals. And so it's very easy to look at the symptoms of the situation they're in. Maybe they're a little heavy, maybe they're, you know, struggling to be productive, whatever the situation is. And we think, oh, they just need to do X, Y, and Z. And then if they fail to do X, Y, and Z, we basically abandon them and leave them to wallow in the misery that we're kind of all fine with them being in. And so particularly when it comes to the young in this particular age, I think it is absolutely vital. We do everything we can to seriously nurture those who do actually want to grow and, you know, better themselves in these ways. Because if we're not helping them, what can we really expect out of anyone else? If we're not, you know, really gonna help those young children or those lost sheep in many other situations, if we're not gonna give them a chance to really take on things that will help them be better and passionate about life, are we really shocked that so many people feel hopeless? Are we really shocked that things are as dysfunctional as they are? To me, I see these things as one and the same. I think the callous idea that we can just dismiss other people's problems as, oh, it's just a skill issue, you know, they're never going to get better, they're not even trying. Eh. I've seen all sides of that equation for darn sure. And so I apologize for being, you know, sappy in this regard, but it's definitely something that hits me to home. And it's kind of funny how much I can observe these high, you know, ideas that I'm playing around in my head and how they affect the real life and real human beings on, you know, on an everyday basis, now that I am trying to gradually reintroduce myself to society and the world. And I guess that's ironic for those of you who met me online, but like, as far as my real life engagement goes, I have been absolutely secluded to the extent that even last Thursday, I was at a meetup, and that was one of the first few meetups I had gone to in quite a long time. And it was a great event. I had a fantastic time talking to, I guess, one of my personal heroes these days. And he actually said something that is going to shape how I'm going to do this moving forward. Because, I mean, I have one story to tell these days. If someone asks me what's new with me, I guess I have to say weight loss, because what else have I done in the last year? I don't know. And so I talked to this guy, and I told him about how, you know, I had gained an extreme amount of weight, especially during and post the COVID years, and how I'm finally making progress reversing that. And he told me that as a researcher, you know, he sees the numbers. Oh, you know, we can look at population data, we can see, you know, how things are going. But he encouraged me to really spend the time to explicitly call out how what was done to people during COVID absolutely made many health challenges a serious and difficult fight. And it was interesting because I actually said I had considered doing that, because here in Canada, we had this thing called the National Citizens Inquiry, where Canadians, you know, anyone, you didn't have to be on a particular side, you could just say your piece, where Canadians could talk about how the Canadian government did things wrong and how things impacted them. Truthfully, I was still basically at my highest when that was taking place, and I would have been afraid to do that. Part of the reason I would have been afraid is because, again, it would be really easy for someone to say, oh, well, look at this guy, he's just an F up. He didn't, you know, he was doomed anyways. You know, there are a lot of ways somebody could dismiss my complaints back then, especially when, to be fair, at the time, my complaints didn't really feel that important. I felt like, yeah, you know, I was definitely gained a lot of weight during COVID, but it was more that, like, I had already been obese for such a long period of time. It didn't stand out to me in the sense that, yeah, things just got worse. That's what happens over time, right? You know, it's the kind of thing. It wasn't clear that, you know, maybe that extra disruption made a big difference, even though for me, there was a time aspect of this where just prior to lockdowns, what kind of happened was that I was going to a gym with my twin brother, and we were going to start seriously tackling the issue. And then literally within the first 2 weeks of me signing up to bring my brother to help me, you know, really work on it together, which I think would have made a huge difference. The gym had to close down because, well, gyms had to close down during lockdowns. And it was absolutely tragic in many ways. And so maybe I underappreciate how much the disruptions at the time really played a factor in how my trajectory went. But ultimately, I guess now that I've made some progress, I feel now entitled to, but not just entitled, I actually also feel obligated to share how those things have affected me and share, you know, really the fine points. And I think by spending all this time reflecting on my own journey and how this has all gone and what it took for me to get better, I think it is really important. And I think he's right that I should explicitly vocalize that. And so anyways, I want to do it justice. And I also don't want to, like, drone on it every single time. It's not like every one of these Walk With Me updates is gonna be like, okay, here's why COVID was bad. It's not really the intention I have, but I am definitely thinking seriously and hard about how I want to put together at least a long form video, ideally, but maybe just a talk about how the COVID measures here in Canada absolutely were a aggravating factor in my own health journey, and how they definitely were probably a problem for a great many people. And so I really took his suggestion to heart that I somehow tell that story. I can confess to you right now that I am absolutely, in this moment, incredibly nervous and scared to do that. It's kind of weird in the sense that I'm like, oh, what authority do I have to speak on? I'm just some guy who got really heavy. But I mean, part of the reason I feel obligated and responsible to talk about this is there are so many people who had so many worse situations than I had, that to the degree I can help people understand those situations, I feel very much like I owe them to do every little bit that I can, especially considering, You know, it took me quite a while to get around to doing this. It really did. I feel honestly quite bad about the fact that it is hard for many people who are still struggling. I encounter some of them in my own life, and it's actually quite sad because, you know, I'm sure if you talk to a lot of people nowadays, they're like, no, I've bounced back, I'm fine. I'm like, yeah, but there's a bit of a survivorship bias, isn't there? You know, a lot of people didn't even make it to this point, whether they're holding on or not. And so that's, I guess that's something that's weighing heavily on me these days. And so I apologize for this update not being particularly cheerful, but this is the stuff that has been on my mind lately. And I can tell you, I am nervous. I am scared to take on the challenges of that are currently ongoing and that I plan to in the future. But I am excited to make the best of it however I can, because it's not just about me. That's for darn sure. You know, I came across something where somebody said, it was a religious, like, TikTok video type style thing, where somebody was asking, like, oh, why is it so hard? Why do I have to struggle? And basically the person, you know, pretending to be God in this skit was saying that, oh, maybe you have to get your stuff back together so that other people can, you know, grow and thrive and do better. And that's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, because one of the things that really did change the game for me starting out was that after I shortly joined the gym, I spent a good amount of time trying to find all the other examples of people who had done the journey I have, had lost all the weight, preferably kept it off for a little while. And I was amazed at how, once you start looking in that direction, you find a lot of examples that it got so bad that even somewhat recently, I'm like, oh, well, I guess weight loss isn't really that special or interesting if so many people have done it so well. So I guess these updates have been my attempts to make it interesting or noteworthy in some way or another. But all that to say, I do think understanding itself is something important we should figure out how to cultivate. So yeah, I apologize for being a bit sappy, but I guess that's how I am these days. I am excited to continue to push on. My exercise program seems to be working pretty well. Again, this is all in preparation for this year's New Year's resolutions for 2026. And so I'm very glad to say that things are going incredibly well on that front. I'm glad that I had come up with a few things I wanted to do differently this year. And now in preparation for the new year, I am making those changes, and that's difficult, but I would say going quite well considering I still have some time. And all in all, I'm incredibly grateful to be at this point. I am grateful for past Gabriel to have made the leap of faith he did to even get the ball rolling. I am incredibly grateful for the kindness and support I have been given from many unlikely places, that's for sure. I am absolutely astounded at how many people emailed me early on when this was just a small update on my own blog, and I am so over the moon at the kindness and feedback and questions and things that people have sent me throughout this journey, and it really does mean a lot. So thank you so much, and I hope you have an excellent one.